Hey now, what's going on? This is Karina Reichman coming at you live on 3 from the 7. And we have a very special episode today. I'm joined by my dear friend and somebody I idolize very much and respect just to the moon and back. It's Laura Lee from Krungbin. And if you're not familiar, you're sleeping. And you ought to go to relics.com/Mordechai, which is M-O-R-D-E-C-H-A-I. It's the name of their newest record. It's phenomenal. And Krungbin was on the last cover of Relics magazine. So if you haven't subscribed yet, again, you got to be sleeping. But I won't ridicule you. You should just go relics.com/subscribe. Get on it. And this is the last chance with the Krungbin issue. So telling you, hit that, get in there. Great articles, lots of features. Billy String, Steve Jordan, we got Thundercat in there, Phoebe Bridgers. It's a great one, so I highly recommend you do that. And before we get started here, we've got a little ad read, and I don't know if you know, but times are tough for folks in the live music industry, and I speak from personal experience, but trying to make the best of it here. And to help, Relics is proud to offer the Digital Roadie Lounge, which is an online resource for artists and crew. And with the help of our partners, LD Systems, Backline, Robe Lighting, and Fender, the site offers financial tools, mental health resources, educational assistance, and more. And you can join the crew at relics.com/roadie-lounge. Now, without further ado, let's hit it. Let's get pumped up. It's 3 from the 7 time. What's going on? It's Karina Reichman here, coming at you live on 3 from the 7. And guess what? We're dropping the 3 from the 7 format today because Raph is out of town. She gave me the reins to do whatever the fuck I want. And you know what I want? I want to talk to my dear friend and guest, Laura Leezy from Krungbin.
What's up?
Yo, she's here in the flesh. Do you hear it, world? Do you hear it? It's real. We're literally real here.
We are here.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I feel like you're one of the few musicians I've seen during this whole situation.
And likewise.
Yeah.
And that's really special because you are one of my favorites, not to be weird.
Same.
But this
Same.
Is good. Oh, wow. Same. Can we just do that? Can we just talk about how much we love each other?
I mean, I do. I remember the first time I met you at Outside Lands.
I was going to bring this up, so I'm glad you're bringing this up right off the bat.
Which was like 3 years ago?
It was 2017. Yeah.
2017. And if I'm totally honest, like, we weren't feeling the tunes that we were hearing backstage for a while. And then all of a sudden we were. And we were like, this bass is jamming. What's happening out there? And then we go up and it was like what I thought was a 16-year-old blonde girl just rocking out. And then you guys came backstage to be like, we listen to you all the time. And it was awesome.
I love hearing your perspective of that time, because this was mine. Okay, so okay. How old was I? Like, I was 23. So
okay,
same difference, but whatever.
The stage, you know.
Yes.
Can add or subtract years.
Hopefully subtract.
Yeah.
God willing. We're going for younger here forever, but it's all good. It's just a number anyway. So we're up there and I'm so excited to play Outside Lands. Like, I'm like, oh my God, we're on a festival with like Metallica and Tribe Called Quest and The Who. Like, for me, it was like huge. And also I got we were playing that Sunday, like you guys were.
Totally.
But I had our manager send me early on like Thursday so that I could just chill the entire weekend and watch music. Oh shit. No,
yeah, I did.
You see, we're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, only time I saw Metallica.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude.
And I was very happy about it.
Oh, baby. You and me both. We might have been in the same little quadrant watching Metallica. You incognito, me literally screaming at the top of my lungs. But we were there and I was so excited. And like then, I was there ostensibly alone, though I had a couple friends that I was hanging out with all weekend. And then the band got there and I was stoked and we were all together and we were playing. played that gig. It was totally chill. And then I knew Krungbin was playing on the same stage two, like, slots after us, yeah. basically. But I didn't know any of the other bands really on that stage. Right. But then I get off stage and I get out of my white outfit that I wear and then into just, like, my street clothes. And then I'm at some, like, bar craft service table, like, hospitality. And then some dude comes over in, like, you know, just like a regular looking guy with a ponytail. And he's like, hey, was that just you on stage? And I'm like, yeah, hey, yeah, how's it going? It was totally Mark, oh. dude. And then he was just like, oh, you're so sick. Like, we loved it. Whoa. And I was like, oh, man, thank you so much. Are you in any of these bands? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, which one? He's like, Krungbin. And I had a full come apart. Full come apart. And I swear, I don't know. Like, and I was just like, oh, my God, come with me. I need you to meet Marco. Like, I have four copies of your record on vinyl. We listen to it on the tour bus. Aww. All we do. Anyway, I, like, fangirled harder than I fangirled on Metallica.
Oh, that's
speaking
awesome.
Of which. But yeah, and then we came and I was like, Marco, I met Krungbin. You got to come.
We have a pick.
We have a pick. So that's a pretty yeah. deep cut right there.
I know.
And since then, your life has gotten fucking insane.
It has.
Am I wrong to say that?
No. It's weird because I remember, like, how nervous I was before and after the show. Like, when I would come off stage and still be shaking, not be able to talk to anyone for a period of time, just because it's a lot. And that was a big show. Like, Outside Lands is a, you know, it's a big one.
Totally.
Yeah, and now, I mean, I'm sure I would have it again if we played now, but, like, last year, I definitely lost that crazy nervous energy and channeled it into, like, just enjoy the fuck out of it.
Oh, that's so good. That's hard to do.
The zen performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have to dig real deep to get there? Or, like, you just kind of, you found it after
a while?
I
found it.
Good.
Yeah, I found it. Because it's like the shows that you enjoy the most are the shows where you're just there and you're not thinking about if your hair is falling to one side.
Things you probably worry about quite a bit.
Which is why, you know, luckily as the stages have grown, the, like, possibility of somebody reaching out and grabbing my hair yeah. is less.
Amen. You see, sometimes these things come with a good little payback, yeah. and it's that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I can't even believe it. Well, yeah, I mean, I've seen you guys from, you know, from Rough Trade to The Bowl to opening for Leon at Radio City to opening for you guys at the Capitol Theater. Thank you, by the way.
Yeah.
Best day of my life.
Very, very easy. It was a very easy decision.
Well, thank you so much. And then Summer Stage and then yada yada. And, of course, now we've all kind of been put at, like, a halt, if you will.
Totally.
In the... in, you know, what was everybody's rising career, if you
totally.
Will. And, of course, to see you guys be, like, so on this insane, like, upward momentum trajectory that's, like, the coolest thing ever to watch. And then now we're kind of like, oh, shit, when's the next show? Can
I
we
know.
Move it? Like, are we good? It's
I know.
Confusing.
But we would, you know, we'd been talking about, like, the importance of taking a break.
Yeah.
And how actually time off the road is good for your community too, because, like, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Exactly.
And you want to have time to make your shows extra special or different or whatever the thing is. And we weren't going to have that time, which was fine because we were amping up to come back at the next tier, whatever that means. But now we have had almost a year off. Which is what it is.
Sure.
You know?
And you probably didn't see that coming. Like, you couldn't have built it in necessarily,
no.
right?
No, like, definitely not. And I was nomadic for the last 3 years, so I didn't have a place to come back to. Now that's sorted.
Yeah. For those of you listening, we're coming at you from the beautiful Hudson Valley. That's upstate New York. It's just gorgeous. And, you know, if you've been paying attention for these last 6 months, maybe you haven't, maybe you have, but I've been here, basically, like, for the majority of the time. I was here from March through you know, July 4th weekend straight. And that's kind of the longest I'd ever slept
in one
bed for, totally. We counted, it was 106 nights or whatever, wow, in one bed, yeah, which is just never a thing. And you can relate much, yeah, more.
100%.
Right?
Like, yeah. I mean, I longed for, you know, a bed for a week.
Sure.
But I definitely didn't anticipate it being this long. And I'm happy to have a home. I miss the road. But, you know.
There's like a reprogramming of our brains, I almost feel like, is going on.
Totally.
And I don't know if you feel that, but like sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, this is like cozy and like comfortable and predictable, but in a maybe a nice way. Whereas like I feel like before I was going like up, down, so much, like adjusting to being gone, adjusting to coming back for short, totally, periods of time, adjusting to like all of just the ups and downs of it, where now I'm kind of like, oh, like, you know, like normies or whatever, like normal people.
Yeah.
Like that just like live,
yeah,
normally.
But it's like interesting because the roller coaster of touring life like provides the ups and downs, and it's sort of easy for you to be like, oh, well, I'm up now because this just happened, or I'm down now because I missed this or whatever. And then when you're on a roller coaster in one place, you're like, you know, shit, I can't blame it on something.
That's totally true. And maybe it reveals your true character of just being like, oh, Jesus, I think it's me. It must be me. It's not circumstantial. It's literally just my vibe.
Totally. But I've definitely, like, I built a garage studio. I'm very happy about it.
Amazing.
It's very lazy.
I'm coming over.
Yeah. There's a lot of clothes and shoes and gear and records. It's like it's me. It's great. But yeah, it was like, I realized that actually in the absence of shows and in the absence of all the stuff that I miss, like when you just come back and play, it's like, well, you're home. Like that is actually the thing. And it's nice to just know that that's always there.
Totally.
No matter what.
And I feel like this weird time off that none of us like anticipated makes it all the more kind of clear that it's not about, you know, the bells and whistles. It's not about the ups and downs. It's not about, like, you know, it's literally the show. Like,
yeah,
when you're on stage is what we live for.
Totally. Yeah.
And it's crazy to have that not be a thing, but it makes it, like, as you say, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah. And we've always, like, I think especially with the most recent record, because it was a new thing,
yeah,
which you hope to do every time. But you're also always kind of trying to get back to the childlike, naive you that started when you started. It's like, how do we get back to August 12th? Yeah. How do we do that again? And I kind of feel like, it's like, well, we're here. Quarantine is kind of like, I don't know, square one.
Sure.
You know?
It like strips you back of like all the stuff that, you know, built you up and like,
totally,
right? And like, it's like an ego death almost, where you're like, okay, we're back to, okay, there's me and there's the band, okay, now I'm still,
yeah,
for once, you know.
And like, we go to the farm to write to avoid Wi-Fi and like distraction and all that stuff, and there's not a lot happening right now. Like, there's a lot happening, you know, politically and pandemically and all that stuff, but it's like the social media celebrity world has kind of changed in a way that sort of pleasant to think that like Beyonce is kind of living the same life that we all are right now.
Sure.
You know?
There is comfort in that.
Yeah, there's something kind of sweet about it. Like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. I think that's awesome. Yeah, and you're not, I mean, of course, there's a ton happening, you know, from a standpoint of whatnot. And, you know, there's a lot to look at on social media that's not necessarily pleasant to look at.
Totally. And which is why I've been avoiding it a little bit.
Yeah. You and me both. Yeah. And for reasons of like, you know, there was a moment there where I was just like, I can't post anything. Like, what the fuck? Like, this is such a rough time to be, like, I can't self-promote my bullshit right now.
Totally.
Like, it feels wrong. Like,
We've definitely been in that place.
Sure.
And then I finally did like I had a playtime photo shoot last week with myself.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I think I can get back in there. And
sure,
it's going to be different. But I was like, I had such a system or formula that's like, we have a show tonight. I'm wearing this outfit. I'm posting it right before I go on stage. And that's my Instagram.
Right.
And now, like, I don't know what my Instagram is. And I don't want to post myself in my outfits or being comfortable in my home because there's a lot of people that aren't having that experience necessarily.
Totally.
But fun and good spirit and good times are good for everyone.
I would very much agree. And we're, you know, we're entertainers. Like, it's what we do.
Totally.
And it feels good to have fun and give that vibe to those who maybe don't have that vibe going themselves. You know what I mean? Or like, you know, I don't know. I feel like your social media presence is fun as hell.
Thank you.
And I can't wait.
Yeah. Ready to come back.
I'm feeling it. Yeah. I'm so feeling it.
Yeah, I was just in a vortex of...
It's complicated.
Yeah, it's complicated.
It's been complicated. And, you know, it might continue to be a little complicated, but we will weather the storm.
We'll weather the storm.
Totally. Laura, you're here on the Relics podcast, and I'd be remiss to mention that it's, you know, it was your first Manhattan show ever, if you will, was at the Relics office.
It was.
And that's a thing. And, you know, you guys, you know, I'm a huge fan. You know that, you know. And I like all kinds of music. Like, that's, you know, I know I'm here hosting the Relics podcast. Oh, yeah, you know, I play in improvisational jam bands. Like, yeah, true. But I love metal. I love jazz. I love hip hop. I love reggae. Like, I'm all over. I'm super ADD with my music consumption and whatnot. But I feel like you guys transcend everything, and everybody loves y'all for good reason, because you make very universally pleasing music.
Thank you.
It's the shit. But the jam people, you know, the jam sphere, if you will, I feel very much we're quick to adopt and like really fuck with you guys. You know what I mean? And I want to hear about that kind of from your perspective, all like through the very beginning.
Yeah.
Through now. Cut to Jam Cruise, cut to Trey, cut to everything, like just, you know, cut to last time I saw you before we became Hudson Valley friends, was at Fish last year.
Yeah.
Which is a thing. Anyway, it's just so funny because I feel like, you know, the indie kids love y'all and the psych kids love y'all, and it's all, you know, everybody has a taste for the Krung Bin, but the Jam people in the very beginning, I feel like, are the ones who are open, kind of. Like,
and they're very embracing.
Yes.
When you're in, you're in.
And you feel that, right?
Yeah, I feel it. The community is incredibly special. It's also not pretentious, which is a very important thing for me. Like, as soon as I feel a nose in the air, I'm not.
Out.
Yeah, yeah. I just can't. So I think that was really important. We definitely did not see that coming.
Yeah. Yeah,
because we're not a jam band, which we will be clear about. We have very structured songs because they are formed from jamming. I think that there can seem like there's an element of like going with the flow or whatever. So then we were like sort of embraced by the community. But then you would read Reddit, like, this isn't a jam band. They're not doing anything different. The show's the same. Da, 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 da. I'm like, yeah, but we're not. So it's like, but then we started to like feel the love, especially on Jam Cruise. I think that was kind of a special time. It's also really special because so many of the musicians in the jam world are incredibly skilled, like incredibly, incredibly skilled.
Sure.
So the musicianship is special to watch. But then if these musicians have decided to be in this sphere, then they have also decided to live in this spirit of fun and like rainbows.
Yeah.
For lack of a better like word, but you know what I mean.
Totally.
And it was like there's people giving like merch that they've made themselves to everybody because they want everyone to kind of enjoy the moment. It's like jam. I feel like the jam community enjoys the moment.
Big time.
Like that's super special. We definitely like, because we're not a jam band and don't have an intention of being one,
sure.
We probably like dip in like four times a year. It was sort of like, we're playing no more than 4 to 5 jam festivals a year. Otherwise, you get kind of stuck in a loop.
Totally.
Which is a great loop. So it's like, that's an awesome, awesome loop. But because we also like to dabble in the other things, we, you know, had to go around. And it's interesting because we also like wanted to play other countries in the same way. But because we wanted to infiltrate or be a part of all of these different communities and all of these different places, it means you have to work hard, like at all of them. Like you have to work your way up in each one. So it was a mission. But the jam scene has been really special and I feel very happy to be a part of it. And then I found out Trey was a fan because from Phish, which I assume everybody listening to this podcast will assume that Trey just means one person.
Y'all know about Trey? Y'all know.
Yeah, so last year I decided that I was going to do two things I didn't think that I would do. One was go to a Phish show and one was go to Burning Man, and I did both and they were both great. So, but I went to a Phish show last year, met him. He's an angel, heroic human who deserves the legendary status that he has. But also the show blew my mind. And then I decided to finish my year by going to see them 3 times at Madison Square Garden because everybody at the first Phish show I went told me that I couldn't really say I'd gone to a Phish show unless I went to multiple Phish shows in a row because that's the whole thing. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'll go to 3 in a row at their, like, I feel like MSG is like their home or
yes,
something.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to go to like home base, see them 3 nights in a row. And now no one can say that I haven't gone. I mean, they still will, but it's fine. and seeing that, like, the show, obviously, the lighting rig, the musicianship, the whole situation is unreal, but also the crowd is probably equally sensational. And I sat in seats like a grandma, because that's okay.
It's so okay. Our seats happen to be a few rows apart from each other, so that was fun.
But, like, looking out and seeing the entire stadium, even the seats behind the stage, like, the people that had bad seats were having the best time. And I don't know. It was a really, really special thing to see that level of, like, freedom in the middle of, you know, one of the most important cities in the world.
Right.
At one of the most iconic venues. It's, like, such a scene. And even outside of MSG, I remember just being like, it's like mutants took over New York in an awesome way. Like, I'm down with this.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I've been really inspired by Phish in the recent year, of how they've built a community that's incredibly special and what they've done for their people.
It's a beautiful thing. It really is amazing. And I feel that so hard, and it's just like, you know, I feel lucky to be a part of it in whatever small way that I have been and been privy to it as well. And it's so amazing. And, like, you know, like you say, these people, there's no pretension for the most part, you know, and they're not like flavor of the week indie people who are like, oh, we love you. And then the next thing comes and it's like, wait, who, you know,
totally.
What I mean?
Yeah. And at the first Phish show, like Trey was soloing on this part.
Right.
And I was sitting, you know, amongst all these people who've probably seen him play 300 times or whatever. And they're like, come on, Trey. You can do it, Trey. You can do it. And they're like, oh, that's okay. You'll get it next time. You'll get it next time. And it was so awesome. You know, and they're like, it's okay. You wrote that part when you were 17. You're not 17 anymore. And, like, hearing that, it's like, it's awesome support. But I feel like the first time I ever played on stage, I remember being so afraid to fuck up.
Right.
And talking to Danielle Moore of Crazy P. She like gave me a pep talk before the show. She's like, no one is watching you listening for your mistakes. I was like, that's not totally true. But I think seeing that made me feel, I don't know. all the feels.
I feel that. Yeah. And it's a hard thing to let go of because you're scrutinizing your playing, theoretically, because you're playing. And you're like, okay, like, these are the things. And if I hit them wrong, it's going to be wrong. But, like, nobody really cares if they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
And I also remember my good friend before the show was like, you know, the thing about bass is it's so cool because, like, you're playing one note. But then if you play it wrong, like, it's wrong. Like,
oh.
And I was like, oh, no.
It's like, that was the wrong thing to say. That was the wrong.
Yeah, and then Mark was like, that's okay. You know what? If you're going to play the note wrong, like, play it wrong.
Oh, dude. Mark yeah. and I feel him on that. Yeah. I will lean into the wrong ass note and be like, yeah, y'all like that? Y'all know it's wrong. Y'all know it's really
yeah.
wrong.
Mark's really clever when he does something wrong because he's clever.
Does he turn it into something?
He does it again.
Oh, yeah.
So then it was like, he really meant it.
Totally. Yeah. That's good strategy.
It's
I really,
really
like that.
Good strategy. But back to the jam thing and Relics, it was, we had a lot of support from the Relics team from the get-go. And at the time, you're just like, how do you know about us? I don't know how all that happened.
Did it seem super early, like that you were like, oh, shit, like now we're going to play it?
I think it's lock-in. Like, I just feel like the lock-in Relics universe
yeah.
really helped us. Our first tour ever, I think everyone that came to our shows knew about us through one of those places.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It's yeah. a great, like, you know, same. I'm like, wow. It's so interesting where it's just like these very fervent, you know, people who basically, like, and I always joke because, you know, you talk to people who work with pop stars and talk to people who work with, like, huge bands that are huge on, like, this whole other scale. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, totally. I mean, I live in this very cozy bubble where Phish is the biggest band on yeah. the planet.
Right.
And it's very bizarre. And people are like, what? And I'm like, well, yeah, like, it's just weird. And I didn't mean for it to be that way, but it just kind of worked out that way. And, like, you know, I don't know. It's weird where, like, you're like, oh, okay, everybody who, like, knows of me probably also knows of this band Phish
totally.
And, like, what they're about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's such a funny, like, little subsection of music fans, you
yeah.
know? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely aren't in that
no.
category. But it's definitely, like, I feel like you have to, it's like you just say the word Phish or you mention it in passing and you kind of, like, test the waters out. You're, like, reading people's
sure.
faces. You're like, you know, are you part of this thing? You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
And I remember last weekend sitting with somebody, she was, I don't know her at all from the jam scene whatsoever. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He was like, I met him back in the Phish tour days. And I was like, what do you mean Phish tour days? She's like, oh, you know, I did Phish tour for a while. I was like, I don't know. You just, like, called it Phish tour. I mean, it's still happening, you know?
It's but, like, what?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Oh
my God. But you, like, you're a, like, before all of this, pre-Krungbin, pre-whatever, like, what was, like, your, like, were you familiar with the stuff? Did you know, like, or were you into, like, what was the music that you, like, grew up listening to or, like, started playing when you started playing? Because I know you started playing late, quote, okay. unquote, if we talk about, like,
yeah.
you know,
late in, yeah.
the traditional sense.
Totally.
Of when people start playing.
I played dub reggae.
Yeah, straight up.
Straight up. Through Mark's guidance, he would just put on dub records, which he was very happy to listen to. And he's also a really great person. I feel like you can't, it's hard to listen to people learning how to play because it's a painful process. And he didn't seem to mind, which is really nice. Like, he would fiddle around doing whatever he did, put on a Scientist record and just have me play to it. And it was really smart because dub is slow.
Sure.
So you can really take your time. Like, you don't have to think about how far your hand has to move up and down the neck. It's like a few notes, but the timing is really specific. And he would listen to me play and he's like, is that where that note ends? And I'm like, oh, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. It was never like you're doing it wrong. It was just like sort of questions leading me to the thing.
Sure.
I grew up listening to what my parents listened to. I think, like, probably most people.
Sure.
So my dad was, like, a Beatles nerd. So I had, like, a Beatles thing.
Yeah.
Which is a great universe. still going. And my mom listened to The Carpenters and Gloria Estefan. That was like Karen yes. Carpenter and Gloria Estefan were her ladies.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I actually feel pretty happy with that as my foundation of music. I like appreciate it more and more, especially Gloria.
Right. Wow. Oh my God. Track 5 on Gloria Estefan's greatest hits is Conga. And oh, yeah. I knew that because I would only play that one a lot as a 5-year-old as well. I was so obsessed with Conga. Yeah. Oh my God.
Miami Sound Machine is insane.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, so good. Wow. And then growing up, I listened to all kinds of stuff. I never was like a one track minded music person. I like the same, like hip hop, reggae. Metal. I had a big stoner rock phase for a while.
Yeah.
I've kind of gone all around the map, and I'm happy about that.
Totally. It just further informs your shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and you guys do, like, a very specifically, like, you thing, which is so amazing. Like, you guys sound like you,
right.
You know? But, like, when you have great influences from so many, like, walks
totally.
Of life and, like, different places and different stuff and... Look, then you're learning to play bass along to the scientist, and then the scientist remixes your record. Like,
I know, that was so wild.
That's the sickest shit ever.
I know.
Sorry, I'm shook by that.
I was shook. We like had Indian food in LA, and I just remember being like, "This is so weird."
Dude, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's so cool. But yeah, I like. I was a big Radiohead nerd. That was my biggest sort of phase of being obsessed with one entity. Which is a great one.
Oh, is it ever?
Yeah, it really is. And I use them as a reference point all the time because I feel like they've always been them. And they have really cool merch. And they have cool, like, I collected all of their stuff. And they, like, they had so many B-sides. And it's like they put out a single, but then they put out the same single in Japan. And the Japanese one had a different B-side. So all of a sudden, my, like, Radiohead collection was this, and I love that. I love like creating a universe.
Totally.
And I feel like those bands create one. Those big like bands that have their own thing going on have a universe, and it's very cool.
It's great to step into Tom's universe, you know? It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, you know, Radiohead funnily has, you know, I'm a huge fan as well, of course. But, you know, much like you guys, there are oftentimes big instrumental moments where things almost sound improvised.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're incredibly intentionally placed.
Totally.
And the specificity of where each note from each instrument lies is like, you know, even though it sounds effortless, both, and I'm making the parallelism between you and Radiohead.
I mean, thanks.
But you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
Where it's just like, you know, you work really, really, really hard at sounding effortless almost, or like it was whimsical and it just like came to you or whatever, but it's very, very labored upon.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is.
Well, I'd be remiss not to say we have to say RIP to Toots. Because
Toots
just passed.
Oh, my God. RIP Toots. I've seen him twice. I saw him twice. And I'm so glad.
Oh, man.
Incredible energy. Incredible performer. Incredible music. Also, like, within, just Jamaican music, period. Totally his own thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know. I feel like in any playlist, there's like a little bit of like, oh, like when he comes on, it's not, I don't know. He did his own thing.
Very much so. And did it to death. You know, he was touring up until the very end, until this very bizarre, you know, time. And it's really sad to see him taken by the exact thing that is, you
know,
preventing people from doing what they love and enjoying it. So. But on the heels of your reggae tip, we had to you know, we had to nod to Toots. R.I.P. Toots. It's too much.
R.I.P. Toots.
Yeah, because, you know, we're not doing the, like, because normally I'd be like, yo, Laura, guess what? There's a Disco Biscuits live stream. What do you say about that?
And I definitely learned some of those, like, some of my early bass days learned some Toots songs.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. Love. Really love.
Really deep. Yeah. Really deep. Oh, my God. Yeah, that'll be our one news story of the day.
Okay.
Because that's not, like, we can't not mention that. That's deep. That's super deep. Oh my God. And you know what? This is ridiculous. I could talk to you all day, but you know what? We are going to keep talking all day, but we're going to probably shut off the recorder and go have fun. Though this has been really fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is amazing.
Relix team for having me again.
Oh, dude, you will always be had. You're on the cover of the magazine. Now we're all up in here in the audio world.
I just ordered my copy. I just got it.
Oh, dude.
Pretty excited.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks, we probably Alex. Have a couple laying around here I could show you. this has been amazing. Thank you for being with me here. Of we just course. Scratched the surface of what we could talk about. But people, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, as is the theme of this episode. So if you want more Laura Leasy, you'll get her another time, you know? God willing. And I have to tell you to subscribe to Relix Magazine. You go to relix.com/subscribe. You got to do that. And if you're not already subscribed, like, what are you doing? You know, you just got to get on that. How are you even listening this far and you're not subscribed to the magazine?
Also, get some, like, fun news in your life.
Yes.
You know, every day.
Because life is heavy right now, and that shit is crazy. And you don't, like, it's bad, and it's good to be informed. Let's not front. It's great 100%. To be informed. Having said that, it's also really going to kill you if that's all you consume. So read a Stephen Malkmus interview, get down with some fun shit, you know, put a show on, turn off the news, get wild. That's just my wisdom to you, you know, and we appreciate you listening. And what else do I got? Oh, Raph, you know, we got to shout out my girl Raph. She's on a cross-country mission with her dude. That's why you're here, Laura. And it's an amazing
shout out Raph.
Yo, there you go. She's really she does the most all the time, and I'm glad that she can get a break and do, as we say, some fun shit, because she works too hard. So Raph, don't even think about it. I'm getting this shit uploaded to all the things, all the stuff that you usually do. I gotcha. And I think that's the end of our road. Laura.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye, everybody.
Peace out.